Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. This is another series that got highly requested because of its introduction onto the weekend binge series that I do. Today's episode, the 1948 to 1957 series, Our Miss Brooks. To say that this series was popular would be an understatement. Not only was it a radio series, but then it got adapted into a sitcom, and it became a movie. And it all started right here on radio. So if you enjoy this series, please let me know in the comments, through my email, or social media. All those links can be found in the description. And while you're there, please consider following, reviewing, and rating the podcast. All that really helps out the show. And now, please enjoy.
Palmolive soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. To most people, a warm May day suggests a drive in the country or a leisurely picnic. But to our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, it has a far different significance.
Yes, indeed. To me, a warm May day means just one thing. Mr. Conklin, our beloved principal, is putting the heat on. Some people feel that Mr. Conklin makes his teachers miserable because of his fusslessness. I don't agree. You can't make so many so miserable so often without giving it plenty of thought. But perhaps I'm being too harsh in my judgment. A principal's life can't be all a bed of roses either. There must be many nights which he spends tossing and turning in his bed until the wee small hours, hoping, planning, thinking, saying to himself, "What can I do to them this week?" Well, during the free period last Friday morning, his nocturnal efforts seemed to have borne fruit. He started an impromptu quiz without prizes.
Miss Brooks.
Oh, yes, Mr. Conklin?
Conjugate the verb strive, please.
Strive? Strive, strove, striven.
Now, thrive.
Thrive. Thrive, throve, thriven. Oh, no. Really, Mr. Conklin, these sudden little tests are quite disconcerting. I don't
see... Silence, Miss Brooks. We're not finished.
Yes, sir. More verbs?
Five.
Five. Five, foe, fiven. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Conklin. Five isn't a verb.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. I knew my visit to your room would produce some valuable bit of information. Now, my main reason for dropping in, however, was to ask you to do me a favor, Miss Brooks. As you know, Sunday is Mother's Day.
Yes, I know, Mr. Conklin. Thanks to a special savings plan I started in February, I was able to send my mother a card this morning. But what did you want me to do for you?
I'd like you to take this package home with you and keep it until Sunday morning. It's a little Mother's Day remembrance for Mrs. Conklin, and I don't want her to stumble upon it before time. Wonderful woman, Mrs. Conklin, and she's trained our daughter Harriet to be a duplicate of herself.
Really?
Yes. Yes, between them, they're the two biggest snoopers in the county.
That makes it unanimous. I'll be happy to keep the package for you.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. I hope my daughter Harriet remembers Mother's Day. Lately, she's had her mind on nothing but that moronic manager of the baseball team, Walter Denton.
Oh, Walter isn't so bad, Mr. Conklin. Of course, he's not a brilliant student.
Brilliant? Walter Denton is Madison's gift to subnormality. The thing that annoys me most is the way he bounces. He never goes anywhere. He always bounces there.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. I just thought I'd bounce in for a minute.
Well, if it isn't the human handball.
Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin. If I'm interrupting anything, I'll just bounce along.
No, Walter. Mr. Conklin was about to dribble back to his office. That is, you were finished with me, weren't you, Mr. Conklin?
Quite. Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Goodbye, Mr. Conklin.
Hasta la vista, Mr. Conklin. I learned that in Spanish. It means see you later.
Oh. Well, no se lo veo a usted primero.
What does that mean, Miss Brooks?
That means not if I see you first. Now, what can I do for you, Walter?
Well, I need some advice, Miss Brooks. And as is my wont when I want advice, I've hied myself to my favorite English teacher. Or for that matter, my favorite any kind of teacher.
Are you sure it's only advice you want?
Oh, sure, Miss Brooks. It's about a Mother's Day gift. But a very special type of mother, Miss Brooks. That is, well, I know it's impossible right now, but just for supposition's sake, suppose you woke up one day and found yourself a mother.
I have a mother. Of course, she's miles away.
No, Miss Brooks, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, if you awoke to find that you were a mother, now, what would your first question be?
What did it weigh, Doc?
Are you quite certain you wouldn't say, how is my husband?
Not me. I might say, who is my husband?
I'm serious, Miss Brooks. My dad told me that was my mother's first concern after she knew that I was all right. You know, she thinks of us constantly and never of herself, but me. What do I do in return? I don't get out of bed when she wakes me. I leave my clothes all over the house. Sunday's Mother's Day, Miss Brooks, and I've got to make it up to her.
Well, that's pretty short notice, Walter, but I have a suggestion for you.
You have?
Yes. Sunday morning, wait till your mother starts to make breakfast. When you're sure she's in the kitchen, close the door quietly behind her.
Then?
Then gather up all the clothes that you've scattered around the house.
Then?
Then put them in a big suitcase.
Then?
Then run away from home. I'm just teasing you, Walter. There's only one way you can make your mother happy, and that's by turning over a new leaf.
Well, I'll try, Miss Brooks, but meanwhile, just supposing again, what kind of a present would you like if you were a mother?
Oh, I wouldn't care much about presents, Walter. I'd just be happy if I had all my beloved children around me.
Gee. Well, of course, my mother only has this one beloved child. Me. Well, that is a lovely sentiment. However, I'd still like to figure out a little gift of some sort. Now, what would make a young mother like yourself happy?
A young father like Mr. Boynton. Which reminds me, Walter, it's time for me to get down to his laboratory and pick him up for lunch.
Oh, did he invite you for lunch today?
Of course he did. About 10 minutes from now.
Now tell me, Walter, were you able to find out what kind of a gift she'd like?
I couldn't find out a thing, Harriet.
But we've got to get her something. What's the good of naming Miss Brooks our mother away from mother if we can't surprise her with something she wants?
Gee, I'm sorry, Harriet, but all she'd say was that she'd be happy with all her beloved children around her. She was kidding, of course. I hope.
Kidding? She wasn't kidding. She meant us.
Oh.
Now, let's see. We'll organize a committee to pick out a gift and give it to Miss Brooks.
Great, Harriet. Then tonight will officially become Mother Away from Mother's Day night.
Well, now that we're finished with lunch, Miss Brooks, I've got a surprise for you.
Surprise? What is it, Mr. Boynton?
Guess.
You're picking up both checks.
No.
I'm picking up both checks.
No.
Then I give up.
Miss Brooks, I want you to meet my folks.
Why, Mr. Boynton, you've only known me for 5 years. This is so sudden.
I just found out they were coming to town myself. You see, they usually spend Mother's Day with my married brother, but Mom decided that this year it's my turn.
To do what? Oh, your turn to spend Mother's Day.
That's right. You'll love my mother, Miss Brooks. She used to be a school teacher, too, you know. As a matter of fact, she worked herself up until she was a principal.
You got to get pretty worked up to be a principal. Oh, I'm sure we'll get along splendidly.
And you'll be crazy about my dad. Oh, what a sense of humor he's got. He's the one who told me the joke about the quizmaster who called out, "I've got a lady, doctor," but before he could ask her any questions, she stuck a thermometer in his mouth and took his pulse. Isn't that a scream?
Your father sounds like more fun than a barrel of nothing. May I ask you a rather personal question about your folks?
Oh, certainly, Miss Brooks. What is it?
How long did they go around together before they were married?
9 years.
I see. girls believed in long engagements in those days, I guess,
Oh, they weren't engaged until 6 weeks before the wedding.
6 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Once Dad makes up his mind about something, he's greased lightning.
He could have used a little greasing the first 8 years. I'll certainly be looking forward to seeing them, Mr. Boynton. When are they arriving in town?
Oh, this afternoon, Miss Brooks. I'll have to check them into a hotel for the weekend. I've just got a small bachelor apartment.
Yes, I know. You've told me about it. Maybe your folks would like to drop over to my place tonight. I'm sure my landlady, Mrs. Davis, wouldn't mind my dusting the living room a little.
Oh, that's just fine with me, Miss Brooks. That'll give my folks a chance to rest up from their trip and have some dinner before they meet the girl about whom I've... Well, they've heard so much.
Why, Mr. Boynton, you mean you actually wrote to your folks about me?
And how, Miss Brooks? I've written them many times about how gay and youthful and exuberant you are.
I am? You have?
Darn right. I remember in one of my most recent letters to them, I said you were more like a pupil than a teacher. In fact, I think that was a letter in which I described you as a great big overgrown kid.
Maybe I'd better take something.
You should have seen the answer I got from Dad. He said, "Whatever you do, son, don't rob the cradle."
Yeah, leave it to Dad.
Oh, he was jesting, of course. He loves youngsters.
Mr. Boynton, you've given me an idea.
Well, what kind of an idea, Miss Brooks?
If your father turns me down when I ask him for your hand, maybe he'll adopt me.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. Here's wonderful news, ladies. Wonderful, wonderful news. Now there's something thrillingly new in Palmolive Soap's famous beauty lather. Yes, something thrillingly new. Palmolive's famous beauty lather now brings you new fragrance, new charm, new allure.
Millions of women will prefer beauty lather Palmolive over all other leading toilet soaps the minute they try it. For Palmolive Soap's famous beauty lather now has a new, clean, flower-fresh fragrance for new allure. New charm.
So, ladies, forget all other beauty care and use Palmolive soap the way doctors advise for a lovelier complexion. Just stop improper cleansing and instead wash your face with Palmolive soap 3 times a day, massaging Palmolive's wonderful beauty lather onto your skin for 60 seconds each time to get its full beautifying effect. Then rinse. That's all. All types of skin, young, older, oily, respond to it quickly. Don't wait another day to try Palmolive's Beauty Lather. You'll be thrilled by its new fragrance, new charm, new allure. Thrilled again by the fresher, brighter complexion doctors prove may soon be yours.
For new loveliness all over, use big, bath-sized Palmolive in tub or shower.
Well, I hurried home right after school and put Mr. Conklin's gift to his wife on my dresser. Then I started to make myself and the house as presentable as possible before Mr. Boynton's parents came over that evening. First of all, I shampooed my hair and set it in pin curls. Then I put on an old, oversized house dress, which I'd borrowed from Mrs. Davis. This intriguing combination achieved the happy effect of making me look like a pack rat drowning in a Quonset hut. Then I went into the living room to get things in order. When I got there, Mrs. Davis had just finished vacuuming.
Oh, Connie, will you pull the plug out for me? My back's been bothering me lately.
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Davis. There. Say, this vacuum cleaner's pretty old, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. But it's held up remarkably well. I bought it in 1932.
1932?
Yes. This Hoover came in when the other one went out.
Well, just so the place looks nice and neat for tonight. You know, I've never met Mr. Boynton's parents before.
I know you haven't, Connie. And first impressions are so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I sent our sofa and all the chairs out to be recovered.
What?
Every chair in the house is at the upholsterer's, Connie. But don't worry. Stretch Snodgrass took them down for me, and he promised to bring them back by 6 o'clock.
Stretch Snodgrass? Look, Mrs. Davis, Stretch may be a fine athlete, but when it comes to mentality, he's strictly a third strike. Why, he's liable to forget where he took the chairs.
Oh, I don't think so, Connie. You know how absent-minded I am. And even I couldn't forget the name of this upholsterer.
Why not?
Because he has a very odd name.
What is it?
What is what?
The name.
Whose name?
The upholsterer.
Upholsterer?
Yes. Look, Mrs. Davis, the sofa and all our chairs are being recovered today.
Well, they can certainly use it. Where did you send them, Connie?
Fellow with a very odd name. I never can remember it.
I'm sure it'll come back to you later. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get out and back and look for our cat.
Minerva? Is she missing again?
Mm-hmm. She had a date this morning.
A date?
Yes, I heard her making it last night. But she should be back by now. She knows how I worry about her. Well, you let me know if she comes in the front way, Connie, and I'll take a look back here.
All right, Mrs. Davis. That's funny. Minerva never bothered to ring before.
How do you do, my dear?
How do you do?
I'm Philip's mother.
Philip?
Yes, Philip Boynton. I'm Mrs. Boynton.
But that's impossible. You won't be here till tonight. Oh, well, I mean, come in, Mrs. Boynton.
You don't have to tell me who you are, my dear. Philip has written so much about you.
He has?
Yes, he says Miss Brooks wouldn't know what to do without you, Mrs. Davis.
Mrs. Davis? Mrs. Davis?
Yes, Connie.
That's Mrs. Davis, Mrs. Boynton. I'm Miss Brooks, such as I am. We've got company, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, she came in the front way, did she?
Yeah, she's right here in the living room.
Well, you tell her she's a wicked cat and put her under the piano.
Yes, Mrs. Davis, you're a wicked cat and get under the... Oh, no. Oh, you'll have to forgive me, Mrs. Boynton. I didn't expect you until after dinner.
Oh, well, that's perfectly all right, Miss Brooks. As a matter of fact, I owe you an apology for not recognizing you. But it was rather dim in here.
Not dim enough. But where's Mr. Boynton? Or should I say, where are Mr. Boynton? Or Mrs. Boynton?
Well, they had a little trouble parking the car, and I wanted to meet you myself first anyway. Philip's written so much about you. You must see an awful lot of each other.
Well, we do teach at the same school. I understand you were a teacher at one time, Mrs. Boynton.
Yes, indeed, for many years.
Well, it's remarkable. You still look so well fed. Youthful.
May we come in?
Oh, it's the boys. Hello, Philip, my dear.
Hello, Mom. Well, I see you two have met.
Yes, indeed. We're old friends by now.
Well, here she is, Dad.
You slip me five, my dear.
Five what? Oh, fingers. How do you do, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I do pretty well for an old codger.
Old codger?
A codger that time, didn't I?
I told you, what a sense of humor.
He's hot stuff, all right.
Hey, Phil's written us all about you, my dear. I hear you're just like a mother to Miss Brooks, Mrs. Davis.
This house dress has got to go.
This isn't Mrs. Davis, Harvey.
It isn't?
Oh, of course not, Dad. This is Miss Brooks. Why are we all standing out here in the hall?
Yes, let's all go in and stand in the living room. Follow me, please. Well, here we are. Now then, Mrs. Boynton, if you'll just come over to this lamp, that's a very comfortable place to stand. Mr. Boynton, you stand over there by the piano.
I don't understand, Miss Brooks. Where are all the chairs?
They're out being recovered.
I didn't expect you for hours yet, Mr. Boynton. This is a terrible thing to do to anybody.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks, but it couldn't be helped, you see. There was a convention in town, and I couldn't get the folks' accommodations anywhere. You know how big my room is, and, well, I wondered if you and Mrs. Davis could put the folks up for the weekend.
Why, Philip, I'm surprised at you. You know better than to whisper in front of others.
No, I'm sorry, Mother. I was just explaining our predicament to Miss Brooks. She was saying how delighted she'd be to have you stay for a couple of days.
Well, now, that's what I call whopping hospitality.
It's a whopper, all right.
I wish you'd give me a hand with the garbage, Connie. I just can't... Oh, I beg your pardon.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Boynton, and this, contrary to popular opinion, is Mrs. Davis.
How do you do?
Hello, Mrs. Davis.
Hey, good afternoon, Mrs. D. Nice little place you've got here.
I just invited the folks to spend the weekend with us, Mrs. Davis. If you don't mind my doubling up with you, I figured they could have my room.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. Oh, dear, the upholsterer. You folks must be tired after your trip. Why don't you go to bed?
Bed? It's only 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, Mrs. Davis was only kidding, Mrs. Boynton. She's got quite a sense of humor, too.
Just remember one thing, Mrs. Davis. You can't kid a kidder, kiddo.
Doesn't he get off some cracks, Mrs. Davis?
Yes, he's a gym dandy. Now, if you folks will just follow me, I'll show you to your room. Or rather, Miss Brooks's room.
Well, I could do with a bit of freshening up at that.
Oh, nonsense, Mother. You're as fresh as the day I got you.
Oh, now, cut it out, Dad.
Yes, cut it out, Dad.
Oh, what is that? Please, Harvey, stop. I don't know where he gets some of his ideas. He's terribly original, don't you think, Miss Brooks?
Oh, a second Oscar Hammerstein, Mrs. Boynton. Or to put it another way, the corn is as high as the elephant's eye.
Well, Miss Brooks certainly has a comfortable room, Harvey.
Yes, indeed. That shower and a little catnap's just what the doctor ordered.
Tell me, Harvey, what do you think of Miss Brooks?
Well, it's hard to tell in that outfit she had on, but once she combs her hair and climbs out of that gunny sack, I'll bet she's a looker.
Yes, but what is she looking for?
Oh, now, Mother, you think that every girl who meets him immediately sets her cap for Philip. Hey, what's this package on the dresser here? It says, for Mother. Must be for you.
Oh, wasn't that thoughtful of Miss Brooks? She got a Mother's Day gift for me when she heard I was coming. I'm going to open it right now.
Oh, but Mother's Day isn't until Sunday.
Well, you know I'd never have the patience to wait. Let's see. Why, what's this? A black sheer negligee.
Well, happy Mother's Day.
Well, this time, happy for me.
Look, his card fell out when you opened the package. It says, for baby from her goodie.
Well, so it belongs to Miss Brooks. Harvey, you don't think that Philip would...
Ooh, certainly not. He wouldn't have nerve enough to ask for that in the store.
Well, I'm going to find out just where this came from. Oh, Miss Brooks.
Yes, Mrs. Boynton?
Would you come here a moment, please?
Certainly, Mrs. Boynton. What can I do for you?
Well, I opened the package by mistake and found this inside of it.
A black sheer negligee.
There was a card with it that said, for baby from Goody.
Goody? Oh, that must be short for Osgood. Why, of course, that was Mr. Conklin's gift.
Mr. Conklin, the principal of Madison High?
Yes, isn't he a devil? He asked me to keep it for him so his wife wouldn't discover it before Mother's Day.
Oh, it's for his wife.
Yes, who did you think it was for? Don't answer that. I can tell from the position of your eyebrows.
My eyebrows?
Yes, Mrs. Boynton. You'd better drop them a notch. You're pushing back your hairnet.
Well, it certainly was nice of you to invite us all to dinner, Mrs. Davis.
Yes, indeed. It's delicious, too. Oh,
thank you, both of you. But Miss Brooks is the one who deserves the credit. She prepared it all.
Oh, come now, Mrs. Davis. You opened every bit as much as I did.
Beef stew, isn't it?
There's beef represented in it, yes.
Eat it slowly, Philip.
Yes, Mother.
They say your stomach has no teeth, but maybe it's just as well. If it got too hungry, it could chew off your suspender button. Oh!
Gets me when I've got a mouthful.
Now, Philip, he's such a baby.
Yeah, he's nothing but a great big overgrown kid.
Now, that's funny. That's the same phrase that Philip used in describing you in one of his letters.
Well, she is, Mother. You ought to see her around the school. Why, the students just treat her like one of themselves.
Oh, yes, indeed. We kids have some great old times together.
Oh, I'm glad. I like Philip to have lots of youthful friends. The younger, the better.
Well, they don't come much younger or better than Miss Brooks, Mother.
Well, thank you, Mr. Boynton.
Call me Philip tonight.
I'll answer it, Connie. Excuse me, folks.
I wonder who that could be.
Well, come in, kids.
Hi, Mrs. Davis. We're a committee.
Who is it, Mrs. Davis?
Walter and Harry and Connie. I'll bring them in.
Oh, we didn't mean to disturb you, Miss Brooks.
Oh, that's all right, Walter. I was just telling the folks how informal we are at Madison. Mr. and Mrs. Boynton, may I present Walter Denton and Harriet Conklin?
Hi, Boynton. How are you? And now, Miss Brooks, we would like to present something to you. that expresses the devotion and reverence felt toward you by the entire student body.
What is it, Walter?
It's a shawl. A shawl and a handsome pair of knitting needles to go with the rocking chair to which you're so attached.
Rocking chair, but...
Oh, I'm not finished, Mrs. Boynton. Miss Brooks, you have been chosen our mother away from mother.
Oh, no.
I'll go to the piano, Walter, and you sing the song we've written.
Okay, Harriet. Wait till you hear this, folks.
Call that, Walter.
The B stands for the books she helps us study. The R is for she's righteous, also pure. The O is for the fact that she's our buddy. The second O is likewise, I am sure. The K is for okay, she rates a bow. The S is for her sadly wrinkled brow. She's motherly, just like Elsie the cow. Miss Brooks, we love you dearly.
Miss Brooks, that's me. I'll always be Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful, luster queen girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Only Luster Cream brings you Kay Dumas' magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster Cream, not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo, leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable, gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4 ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo. And be a
dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, several days later, Friday night came to an end. As I escorted Mr. Boynton to the front door, he was in a strangely mellow mood.
You know, Miss Brooks, I'm a man of many dreams, but more often than not, I find I'm shooting too high.
Shooting too high, Mr. Boynton?
Well, yes. In trying to find the right girl, for instance, it seems that subconsciously I'm always looking for a girl who's just like my mother. Attractive, yet sweet and unselfish.
Well, don't give up the search, Mr. Boynton. Someday you're liable to find such a girl right under your nose. And I think that's a very nice location.
What I mean is, when you gave up your room for Mother, I suddenly realized that you're not only attractive, but also sweet and unselfish. So, Miss Brooks, instead of just shaking hands like we usually do...
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
I'd like to say goodnight to you the way I do to my mother. With a kiss.
A kiss, Mr. Boynton?
Yes, on the forehead.
There you go, shooting too high again.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Frank Nelson, and Myra Marsh.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive shaving cream comes both ways, and whichever way you prefer to shave, you'll find that using Palmolive brushless or Palmolive lather shaving cream can bring you more comfortable, actually smoother shaves.
Here's the proof. 2,548 men tried the new Palmolive way to shave described on the tube. And no matter how they had shaved before, 3 out of every 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Get Palmolive brushless or Palmolive lather shaving cream today.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting fun fact adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. Stay tuned now for Life with Luigi, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Columbia presents Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Our Miss Brooks is a school teacher. She's been teaching English at Madison High for about 5 years now. In spite of the fact that she doesn't make a lot of money, Connie is very fond of her work. In fact, in her own words,
teaching school can be a very rich life for a young woman. That is, if she happens to be a very rich young woman. Of course, I'm not rich, but I am rather young and rather a woman, too. Which brings us to Mr. Boynton. He's the biology teacher at school, and a sweeter, kinder, more intelligent scientist never brushed off an English teacher to play footsie with a frog. But he'll come around. Even a studious biology teacher must sooner or later get a little biological. Meanwhile, I can dream, can't I?
Yes, Connie Brooks can dream. It's a few minutes before 7 in the morning, and Miss Brooks is fast asleep in the room she rents from Mrs. Margaret Davis. Fast asleep and dreaming.
Oh, Mr. Darwell, this is too much.
Miss Brooks, as principal of Madison High School, I insist you accept it.
But a diamond-studded ruler? For what, Mr. Darwell?
Because you have the nicest erasers in school.
Why, Mr. Darwell, I didn't think you ever noticed my erasers.
I'm also giving you Mr. Boynton, the biology teacher.
Oh, Mr. Boynton.
Kiss me, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks? Miss Brooks, you'll be late.
Kiss me again, Mr. Boynton.
Miss Brooks, you have to go to school, dear.
For this, I don't have to go to school. This comes naturally. Oh, it's you, Miss Davis. Mm-hmm. Oh, what time is it?
Well, it's only 7:15, dear. But I know today's a big day for you, what with Mr. Darwell, the principal, leaving Madison High.
Oh, yes, today's the day Mr. Conklin takes over. Maybe he'll give me a chance to head the English department.
Osgood Conklin? Why, I've known him for years. We went to school together. All the other children used to call him Stoneface because he never laughed.
Oh, fine.
Well, I shouldn't say never. No, I did give him a laugh one time when we were out ice skating. He was practically in hysterics.
What happened?
I broke my leg. Now, do hurry and get dressed, dear. I've got a lovely surprise for your breakfast. You just sit down and drink your juice.
All right, Mrs. Davis. What kind of juice is this, anyway?
Pomegranate.
Pomegranate?
Uh-huh. I was going to bake you a kumquat, but they were out of them at the deli. Now, here's the surprise. Here it is. Armenian pancakes. They've been setting for 5 days.
What else could they do?
I mean in goat's milk. It takes 5 days for it to get good and sour.
Sour goat's milk?
Mm-hmm. Here, try a bite off this fork. Don't pay any attention to the smell, dear.
Oh, but Mrs. Davis, I... Please, Mrs. Davis. I'm too old to be hand-fed. especially Armenian pancakes.
Now tell me the truth, aren't they delicious?
Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Mrs. Davis, but if I were the goat responsible for this concoction, I would hang myself by my own beard. If you don't mind, I'll help myself to some cereal.
Oh, Miss Brooks, it's a crime to throw out these pancakes.
What's the crime? Carrying concealed weapons?
Now, you've got to have something for breakfast. Today's a big day for you. Let me whip up a few Swiss clam fritters.
Look, Mrs. Davis.
Yes, dear?
If it wouldn't upset you to see it at the breakfast table, could I have some cornflakes?
Well, everyone to his own taste.
Gee, it's funny Walter isn't here yet. He knows I wanted to get to school a little early this morning.
Oh, is Walter Denton picking you up again?
Yes, my Chevy's still in the shop. I had a little accident Monday. I ran into a parked car.
Oh, that's too bad. I hope you reported it to the police.
I didn't have to. They were sitting in the car.
Oh, that's good. Walter's a nice boy, although he's not too bright.
You're right about that, Mrs. Davis. 16 years old, and he gets his heart broken every other week by some jukebox, Cleopatra. Then I have to put the pieces together.
You, Miss Brooks?
Yeah, you know, I pat the little rooster on the head with my motherly wing and make clucking sounds.
Oh, well, how does he respond to that, Miss Brooks?
Before the last cluck has died away, he's back in the hen house. Oh, well, I can't worry about Walter today. I've got to make a good impression on Mr. Conklin if I want that new job at school.
That's Walter now. I can always tell him by the way he honks.
Me too. He sounds like a heartbroken goose. Well, here goes, Mrs. Davis. Wish me luck.
Oh, I do, my dear. And don't you worry about a thing.
I wonder what kind of a guy Mr. Conklin really is.
I tell you, I'm not going to stand for any nonsense at this new school, Martha. I've heard about their lack of discipline, and I won't have it, you hear? No one is going to interfere with my making Madison High School a well-run school. No one. If anybody gets in my way, I'll crush them. Step on them like so many ants. Squash them.
That's nice. Pass the marmalade, dear. And help yourself to some more toast.
I hate toast. As I was saying, Martha, I'm sure that the faculty at Madison is totally inept.
Oh, I don't know, Osgood. I'm sure you'll find a few ept ones.
Ept? Ept?
Drink a little water, dear. It'll go away.
Oh, no understanding. No cooperation. Nobody knows what a difficult job I'm faced with. It's awful, awful, awful.
Please, Osgood, can't you talk without barking? Honestly, sometimes I think Prince is the only one who can really understand you.
Prince! Don't mention that lazy mutt to me. Look at him over there. Dead to the world. Well, it's getting late. Now, where's my hat? Confound it, where's my hat?
Please, dear, don't bark.
I'm not barking, Martha. Once and for all, I don't bark.
See? He does understand you. Now be sure to drive carefully on your way to school.
Don't tell me how to drive.
I'm not, dear. It's just that after all the work you put in polishing it on Sunday, I'd hate to see...
Oh, stop worrying. I did the work, didn't I? Look at her out there. Nothing takes a wax polish like a black touring car.
Well, Osgood, you'd better get started. You mustn't set a bad example for your new teachers.
I'll show them a thing or two. I'll show them. I'll make them step. Oh, shut up, Prince. Shut up. Goodbye, Martha.
It's nice of you to pick me up like this, Walter.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Brooks. It's the least I can do. You've been so sweet to me. Besides, there's something I want to talk to you about.
A girl?
It usually is, isn't it? Yeah, it's a girl, Miss Brooks, but this one's different.
You mean she's stuck on you?
Oh, not yet. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want you to help me get her stuck on me.
Well, here we go again. Who is the girl, Walter?
She's the baker's daughter, Penelope Miller. When I kissed her for the first time the other night, I knew she was different.
But, Walter, you kissed a lot of girls. What's so different about Penelope Miller?
She tastes like caraway seeds.
Oh, grand. She's probably built like a pumpernickel. Now, look, Walter, I've got a lot on my mind today.
Well, all I want you to do is help me write her a letter, Miss Brooks. You see, she doesn't think I'm mental enough.
I can't understand it.
And I figured, well, you being an English teacher, as well as a woman, well, you'd know how to make her think that I was brainy. You know, intelligent. I hate to trade on just my sheer animal magnetism. You know what I mean?
Walter, you are a little beastly in spots. But don't blame yourself. Penelope just doesn't appreciate yet that a man is a thing to be treasured.
When will she appreciate it?
When she gets to be my age.
Oh, I couldn't wait that long, Miss Brooks.
Oh, wait a minute, Walter. Just how old do you think I am, anyway?
35.
What?
40.
Walter!
45.
One more bid, and I'll throw you out of this auction.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I guess I'm not very mental at that, but you will help me out, won't you? I'll come over to Mrs. Davis's tonight, and we'll write a letter together. What do you say?
Well, I could... Walter, look out! That car!
What car?
That big black touring car!
The black touring car?
Well, it's not quite as big as it was.
You young idiot! Why don't you watch where you're going? Oh, my fenders. My shining fenders lying in the gutter.
Walter, put the man's fenders back on.
Oh, gee, mister, I didn't mean to...
You didn't mean. Why didn't you look where you were going?
Well, gosh, it takes two to make an accident.
A brilliant observation. But it just happens that I was only going 15 miles an hour.
You should have been going 30. We'd have missed you by a block.
Now, see here, you red-haired joyrider. It was probably your fault.
My fault?
Yes.
Why don't you learn how to drive that hopped-up hearse of yours?
Hopped-up hearse? How dare you?
Walter, I've got to run along. I'll leave you to straighten out Barking Boy.
Barking Boy? That's the second time today I've been accused of barking. Young woman, I'll have you know I do not bark.
Who's your friend?
Go home, Prince.
Goodbye, Walter. And thanks for the joyride, Walter, if you'll pardon the expression.
Oh, goodbye, Miss Brooks, and don't forget about tonight.
Good riddance. That is one of the most offensive young women I've ever met. Now then, young man, let me see your driver's license.
Classes haven't started yet. Let me see. Pick up my mail first, and then... Oh, hello, Mr. Boynton.
Hello, Miss Brooks.
Isn't it a coincidence that we're in the same mailbox?
Not an overwhelming coincidence. You see, your last name begins with the same letter mine does.
Well, that's a start. You have such a quick mind, Mr. Boynton.
Well, it is thorough.
Personally, I think you tax it too much. Don't you think you need more recreation, if you know what I mean?
Oh, carrying on my biology experiments is recreation enough.
You don't know what I mean.
Of course, I also collect stamps. That gets pretty exciting sometimes.
Oh, it must. There's no end to the possibilities. Have you ever tried your hand at beadwork?
Beadwork? No, I don't believe I have. Is it fun?
Fun? Why, it just makes you tingle all over. And, of course, basket weaving can be exciting, too.
Really?
Yes, if we're both in the same basket. Well, so much for the world of sports.
Miss Brooks, if you don't mind my changing the subject, are you going to be busy tonight?
Busy? Me? Why, Mr. Boynton, I couldn't be unbusier.
Well, I'd like to come over after dinner, that is, if we could be alone.
Alone? We'll be absolutely isolated. I hope you don't think I'm too forward, Mr. Boynton, but I've anticipated this moment for quite a while. Remember the day about 5 years ago when I first came to Madison High, rounded a turn in the corridor, and bumped smack into you?
Oh, yes. I was teaching chemistry then. You put quite a dent in my Bunsen burner.
You know, that was the day that I first suspected that we'd be more to each other than just fellow faculty members.
Oh? When were your suspicions confirmed, Miss Brooks?
Oh, on our very next date, when you took me to lunch 2 years later. Dad, you were a fast worker.
I don't blame you for kidding me, Miss Brooks. I guess I'm not much of a whirlwind romantically, Ben, most scientific people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the study of evolution alone tends to slow down any of the more intemperate reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
You must realize what a tremendous period of time was involved before the single cell divided itself in the sea and adapted itself to the land and air.
Mm-hmm.
Countless centuries passed before lower forms of life assumed their new shapes. Generations before the mammal family produced the ape family, and before the ape family produced the human family.
What have you been waiting for me to do? Slip back a notch?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lecture, Miss Brooks. You do look very lovely this morning.
Well, thank you, Mr. Boynton. Luckily, I come from one of the prettier ape families. Now, about what time do you think you'll be able to come over tonight?
Oh, Mr. Boynton, Miss Brooks. Sorry to interrupt, but as you know, today is my last day as your principal, and my successor, Mr. Conklin, is due any minute.
Well, we'll be sorry to see you go, sir.
Yes, you've been a wonderful principal, Mr. Darwell. I don't know why the Board of Education had you transferred.
Well, ours not to reason why. Ours but to teach and die. If you'll pardon a mixed poetical reference. And if I may say so, it's been wonderful working with you here at Madison High, and I'm genuinely sorry to leave. However, we're teachers, and teachers can't afford sentiment.
We can't afford anything.
Now, I suggest that you go to your classrooms and get things in order. I'll be taking Mr. Conklin on a tour of inspection as soon as he arrives. Incidentally, Miss Brooks, your class will be one of the first ones visited. Also, it might interest you to know that I intend to recommend you as the head of the English department.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Darwell. Believe me, I'm all set for Mr. Conklin.
Good. You know, Miss Brooks, nothing is more important than a first impression.
All right, class, let me have your attention now. As many of you know, our new principal, Mr. Osgood Conklin, takes over his duties today. So if he should drop in here at any time, there's no reason for any of us to be nervous, self-conscious, or head of the English department. we'll just go on in our normal manner. Now to take up where we left off yesterday.
Pardon me, Miss Brooks, but Mr. Conklin and I just happened to be passing by and...
Oh, I come right in, Mr. Darwell.
This way, Mr. Conklin. Mr. Conklin, this is our Miss Brooks.
How do you do, Miss Brooks? Glad to make your acquaintance. Wait a minute!
Thank you, Mr. Conklin. I'm glad to make your acquaintance, too.
You two have met?
Well, we sort of ran into each other this morning.
Yes.
Oh, so this is the young lady in the accident you told me about. Mr. Conklin, I have an idea. Now, why don't we skip English and drop in on...
Mr. Darwell, now that I know just who Miss Brooks is, I'm particularly interested in watching her conduct her class.
Suppose you go right on, Miss Brooks. We'll have to sit here at the back of the room and probably learn something.
All right, Mr. Darwell. Now, class, I'm going to read some lines to you, I want you to tell me who I'd like the name of the author of the following stuff. So faithful in love, so Conklin in war. So dauntless in war. Never was there a knight like young Lochinvar. Hands, please. No hands? Well, you've all got them, you know. Just look at the end of your sleeves. Oh, there's a hand. Winona. I can always depend on Winona. Who wrote those lines, Winona?
I don't know. I just want to leave the room.
Never mind the blindfold, Captain. Just give me a cigarette. Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, Miss Brooks. Come right in.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll stand by the door. Biology labs make me nervous. I just dropped by to see what time you're coming over tonight.
Tonight?
Yes, one of my students is stopping by. I've promised to write an intellectual letter for him to a girlfriend he's trying to impress, Penelope Miller.
Penelope Miller?
Yeah, she tastes like caraway seeds. Anyway, if you'll just let me know what time you can make it,
I'm not sure about tonight at all right now. I'm quite worried about Violet.
Violet?
Yes, the white mouse I use in some of my experiments. Steady, Violet. Steady, dear. I'm just going to hold you for a minute.
Mr. Boynton.
You know, I don't like the feel of her stomach.
Mr. Boynton, if
it's lumpy.
Well, but Mr. Boynton, you told me at the office this
morning... Well, frankly, Miss Brooks, at that time I didn't know about Violet's condition. You understand, I have to...
I know, you have to sit up with a lumpy mouse.
Violet's been awfully cooperative.
Obviously.
But she's terribly peaked lately. I don't know what it is. I think I better have a look at her cage. Hold her a minute, will you?
Miss Brooks, you dropped Violet!
She attacked me!
Miss Brooks, get down off that desk!
I can't, I see her. She's under that table, Mr. Boynton.
I'll get her if you just stop that screaming and let go of your skirts.
Get her!
And this, Mr. Conklin, is our biology laboratory. And where are we... Why, Miss Brooks, what are you doing on that desk? And where's Mr. Boynton?
He's under the table with Violet.
Violet! So that's what goes on in the biology laboratory of Madison High.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin, I'm sure we can...
So am I. Very sure. Come, Mr. Darwell. I'll be back when Violet is out from under the table.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've got her, Miss Brooks. Oh, the poor thing was scared to death. Yeah. Oh, look at her. Isn't she sweet? Isn't Violet a beauty?
Ravishing. And may I tell you something else, Mr. Boynton?
What's that?
You make a lovely couple.
Hello? Yes, this is the principal's office. Osgood Conklin speaking. Who's this? Who? Mrs. Davis. Margaret Davis. Oh, the girl who used to go ice skating with me. How's your leg? What's that? You want me to come over tonight? Well, my wife is visiting her mother tonight. I might be able to... you say there's a teacher living here that you want me to meet, Miss Brooks? Miss Brooks! Now, look here, Margaret. I don't think I can... Yes, I know we're all friends, but... But I don't... But I can't... But I... All right, Margaret. I'll be there for dinner. All right, 7 o'clock. Goodbye. Margaret Davis. Her leg must have been in a cast for 6 weeks.
I demand to see the new principal of this school immediately.
I am he.
I am Matilda Denton, and I have reason to suspect that my boy, a pupil at this iniquitous institution, has fallen into the clutches of one of your female teachers.
What? But, madam, what makes you...
Not over a half hour ago, on the phone, I heard my boy postponing a date with a girl his own age, a lovely little girl, Penelope Miller.
Penelope Miller?
Yes, she tastes like caraway seeds. And when I asked Walter his reason for the postponement, he said he had a date tonight with a red-headed teacher at her home.
But how do you know she's...
Here, read this. It fell out of my son's notebook when he came home from school. Just read it.
Very well. At last, I've got what I want. Red hair, and what a tough, sturdy body. Good heavens!
Well, Mr. Conklin, have you any idea who this nefarious woman might be?
Yes, I have, Mrs. Denton. And I hasten to assure you that I'll take steps to get to the bottom of this as quickly as possible.
Just how quickly is that, Mr. Conklin?
No later than tonight. This teacher doesn't know it, but we are having dinner together.
Well, Osgood, how did you like your dinner?
Very interesting, Mrs. Davis. I've never tasted a seal burger before.
Oh. It's the goat's milk that does it.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll take these dishes into the kitchen and see about the coffee. Oh, I make Bulgarian coffee, you know. It's strained through a grapefruit rind.
Naturally.
Now then, Miss Brooks, I realize that the events of the day were as unpleasant for you as they were for me.
Yes, they were, Mr. Conklin, but that's all in the past.
I'd like to think so, Miss Brooks. But unfortunately, a matter of the gravest concern has come up.
Really?
Really. What would you think of a teacher who would allow a student to become infatuated with her and then lead him on?
Why, I think she was pretty terrible, Mr. Conklin. Who's the teacher?
We haven't any positive proof, but the boy's name is Walter Denton.
Well, I think they both ought to be arrested. Walter? Denton?
Yes, Miss Brooks. Walter Denton. His mother came to see me today and told me all about it. She has no idea who the teacher is, but... Well, you can't deny that you were in the car with young Denton this morning.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin, he was just giving me a lift until my car's fixed. I never see the boy at any other time.
Are you sure about that, Miss Brooks?
I'm positive. Must be my laundry.
Your
laundry at 8 p.m.?
Well, I deal with the owl laundry. They only come out at night. Will you excuse me, Mr. Conklin? I'll be back in a minute.
Hi, Miss Brooks. I keep you waiting.
Yes, but not long enough. Look, Walter, come back some other time.
Come on.
No, Walter, no.
Let's get into the living room. I'm anxious to get that letter started.
Not so loud, Walter.
What's the matter, Miss Brooks? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I just had dinner with one. Mr. Conklin is still in the dining room.
Oh, the new principal?
Yes, and he's convinced that you jilted your girlfriend because you're infatuated with me.
Gee, is that good?
Good. Listen, Walter, if he finds you here tonight, we'll both be out.
That's good. We'll have our coffee in the living room.
Fine, Margaret.
Oh, quick, Walter, get behind those curtains by the window.
Oh, all right. Oh. Say, they're very pretty.
Get in back of them.
Who was it that rang, dear?
Oh, it was just a wrong number, Mrs. Davis.
On the doorbell?
I mean the wrong house number.
Why, Miss Brooks, you seem very nervous this evening, dear. You've pulled all the thread out of that tassel.
Oh, they don't make them like they did before the war, do they? I remember some tassels you could pull on all day.
Oh, come and get some coffee, dear. It'll calm you down. You know, the Bulgarians drink it flat on their backs.
I'll be flat on my back any minute, and I wish I was in Bulgaria.
Why, Miss Brooks, you're trembling like a leaf, and you're all flushed.
Well, it's rather warm in here, don't you think?
Yes. Oh, if it isn't too much trouble, Osgood, would you mind pulling back those curtains and opening the window?
Oh, no, not the curtains.
No trouble at all. I'll be only too happy to open the window.
And I'll be only too happy to jump out of it.
There we are.
Well, where is he? What's become of him?
What's become of whom?
Bobby Breen. He used to send me.
Come on over to the couch, dear. You're still overwrought. There, now you lie right down here and I'll get you a pillow. You know, I keep pillows in the window seat just for emergencies like this. I always say you never know when you need them. Hello, Walter. Here you are, Miss Brooks. Just make yourself... Ah!
Margaret, what is the matter?
Walter Denton, you come out of my window seat.
Ah-ha! Just as I thought. Miss Brooks, where are you going?
I thought I'd run down to the Belgian Congo for the weekend.
Sit down, Miss Brooks. Young man, what were you doing in that window?
If you'll only give me a chance, Mr. Conklin, I can explain.
Go ahead. What were you doing in there?
Hiding.
Oh, no. Walter, tell them just why you came here tonight.
I came here to see Miss Brooks. I thought we'd be alone.
Oh, ho!
Oh, Walter.
Well, she was only going to help me write a letter to my girlfriend.
Why, that was very sweet of Miss Brooks. Don't you think so, Osgood?
Extremely so, extremely. Now, let's hear you explain this, Miss Brooks. Here, read this page from Walter's diary.
Mine?
What is this? At last I've got what I want. Red hair, and what a tough, sturdy body. Walter!
I wish everybody would stop saying Walter. This isn't even my writing. Here, look at the other side. That's my biology notes from yesterday. I asked Mr. Boynton to loan me a piece of paper.
Mr. Boynton wrote that? Oh, my. Miss Brooks, don't you get it?
Get what?
Red hair. It's you he's writing about.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Just what he wanted? Tough and sturdy. Well, I am strong.
Surely you're not pleased, Miss Brooks.
I'm not? I mean, I'm not.
Good evening. The front door was open and I...
Oh, hello, Mr. Boynton.
I thought you said we were going to be alone, Miss Brooks.
You too! What's happening around here?
Haven't you heard? I've been made queen for a day.
Mr. Boynton, I'd like to know whether you wrote this or not.
Let me see it, sir. Yes, I wrote it. It was supposed to go into my diary. What's wrong with it anyway? She is strong, and I did work hard to get her.
Mr. Boynton, please, not in front of everybody.
It took 23 generations of crossbreeding to get a red-backed mouse like that.
Red-backed mouse?
Mouse? Mouse? Oh, amazing. Well, Miss Brooks, I'm afraid I've done you a grave injustice.
You most certainly have, Mr. Conklin. You've placed your own meaning on unfortunate incidents.
But...
You've accused me of misconduct with no proof whatsoever, and you've acted in general like a narrow, bigoted, unfair person.
But,
Mr. Conklin, I never want to see you or talk to you again as long as I live.
Not even about that job as head of the English department?
Mr. Conklin, I've done you a grave injustice. Let's sit down on the love seat and talk this thing over, shall we?
Well, we'll take it up first thing in the morning, Miss Brooks. I've got to be getting home now. Come on, Walter. We'll take the bus together.
Oh, we don't have to take the bus, Mr. Conklin. I've got my car outside.
Your car? After our collision this morning?
Oh, after I left you, I hit another car and everything snapped back into place.
Well, good night, all.
Good night, Walter. Good night, Walter.
Good night,
Oscar.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Conklin.
Well, now there's just the three of us, Mr. Boynton. Mrs. Davis and you and I. Gee, it's a beautiful night. Look at that moon streaming through the windows. If one would just take a hint, there'd just be two of us. Two of us and one sofa. I said if one of us would take a hint. Well, here we are, just the two of us.
That's right, Miss Brooks. How about a little gin rummy?
Cut for deal. Well, I blitzed Mrs. Davis three across, but I'd rather have lost to Mr. Boynton. He's certainly naive, my little biology boy. But though he's shy, he's glad of I, and I'm sure he'll soon realize that the greatest thing he'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. Good night.
Next week at the same time, Columbia will again present Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.